Welcome everyone. Christine, Matty, welcome. Our friends from Bultfontein. Was it 9 years ago that we started preaching on your farm? Can you believe it's 9 years? Took a bus full of students every month there and just enjoyed the Lord Jesus. I remember the first service we had there. Jesus walked into that room as healer. And he started touching people, healing cancers, setting broken bones. It was so amazing. It was like yesterday. Guys, we're speaking about freedom that is in Christ, liberty that is in Christ. We're at Romans 8. It's one of the biggest chapters in the Bible, is Romans 8. You can go and study, I think it's 39 verses. You can go and study every one of them. There's a sermon on every one of those verses. And it's all about the freedom that we have in Christ, the liberty that He's given us because of the cross. We sang about the cornerstone just now. If we remove the cross from our preaching, there's nothing else to preach. There's no church if we remove the cross from our message. The cross of Jesus is the cornerstone. The fact that He came in the flesh to this earth, that He died for us, that He went to hell for us, that He was resurrected and He's seated at the right hand of God the Father. He's praying for us now, interceding for us this very moment. So far in Romans 8, we've looked at liberty from sin, liberty from our old man. Romans 6 and Romans 7, He gives us specific instructions how to deal with our old man. He says, as you believed in the Lord Jesus when you became saved, the same way you believe that your old man is dead. The moment you got saved, that very moment, you identify with Christ's crucifixion and you are dead with Him on the cross. And as you have died with Him, you are alive with Him. He says, He calls it, we are living in the newness of this life. So the first couple of verses of Romans 8. So the title this morning is Liberty in Christ, the Spirit of Adoption. There's nothing that we can do without the Holy Spirit. Even setting our mind at the start of the day to say, I am dead in Christ. My old man has died in Christ. Even that takes the Holy Spirit to say that and to believe that. I'm alive to Jesus Christ. We don't have to sin anymore, people. That is what Jesus did. A dead person cannot sin. When we are physically dead, we're in the grave. We cannot sin. But spiritually, this is exactly what Christ did for us. We were in the grave with Jesus the moment we believed in Christ Jesus. So we can't sin anymore. But we do. How does that work? And we looked at that. That's the beginning of Romans 7, where he says, you were married to the law. But now that relationship has died. The first six verses of Romans 7. You've got a new husband now. That husband is the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't go back to the law anymore, to works, to sin. You live now for this new husband, which is Jesus Christ. So He's given us a way out of sin and bondage to sin. This morning we're going to look more at freedom from fear. That's what adoption is about. We will get to that verse just now. But He says He has given us the Spirit of Adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Father, Father. It's a loving term that He is our Father. And this has got nothing to do with whether we had a good father or a bad father. I know psychologically it's got a big impact. I grew up without my father. He left me on day one when I was born. But eventually he came to the Lord, and 30 years of ministry, he died about 3 years ago. It's not about having a good father or a bad father. Our Father is the perfect Father. He's a living Father. And again, by the Holy Spirit, by the Spirit of Adoption, we cry to Him, Abba Father. But I'm running ahead. Let's take it verse by verse. I'm just going to read verse 10. My translation is going to differ a little bit. That's the ESV. I'm reading from the New King James Version. I'll quickly run through that slide. That's still from last week. 10 to 14. And if Christ is in you, why is Christ in us? Because the Holy Spirit is in us. When Jesus went up to heaven, he said, it's better for you that I go, because I will send you the Holy Spirit. He will be with you. He will be in you. He will teach you. And because the Holy Spirit is in us, he represents the Lord Jesus. That's why he says here, the Holy Spirit, the Lord Jesus is in you. If Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit, talking about the Holy Spirit, if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. The same Spirit that quickened Jesus' body when he was dead, that same Holy Spirit today, 2,000 years later, is quickening our bodies to follow Jesus. Our bodies, this body, does not want to follow Jesus. This body is connected to this earth. We will receive a body one day that wants to follow Jesus, and that's a resurrected body. That's the body that Jesus has now. That's why he's the first fruits. He has his resurrected body. And when we follow him, we will get a resurrected body. We'll get to that also just now. So verse 12, therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. Christ has made us free from the flesh. What is the flesh? The flesh is that old man that wants to sin, that does not want to follow Christ. He says we are not debtors to the sin, to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. Verse 13, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. And you see, it's only by the Spirit, by the Holy Spirit, that we can train the members of this body to follow after God. The members of this body has been trained to follow after sin. The members of this body is my hands, my feet, my eyes, my ears, my mouth. They've been trained through my life to follow the old man, to do the deeds of sin. Now he says, train your members by the Holy Spirit to follow after righteousness. He says, in this way you will live. Verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Sons and daughters. Remember when he speaks about man, like Genesis 1, Genesis 2, when he created man, that word is anthropos. In Hebrew, anthropos means man and woman. Woman was taken out of man. There is no third. There's only man and woman, according to the Bible and according to God. There's not a third category. Verse 15, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry, Abba, Father. So we have two kingdoms in this world. We have the kingdom of darkness. It is ruled by fear. We have the kingdom of light, which is the kingdom of God, that's ruled by love. Love is stronger than fear. As light, when I put on that light switch and it is dark in here, as light is stronger than darkness, love is stronger than fear. Fear dissipates before it dissolves before love. We are attacked by fear every day, whether it's anxiety or stress, intimidation. Every day, the world that we live in is a broken, corrupt world. It became that way when Adam and Eve sinned. The world fell. The world needs to be restored. As we were restored back to Christ, the world, the creation, will be restored back to Christ as well. It will be as it was in the beginning. It's still in the future. We will touch on that just now. So, when you're struggling with anxiety, when you can't sleep at night, tap into the love of God. Where is that love? Romans 5 says that the love of God has been poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. You see again, the key is the Holy Spirit. We tap into the love inside us by the Holy Spirit. So when you are anxious, whether it's for family or work or friends, give that anxiety to the Lord in faith. And by love, you will dissipate that fear. The love that is in you will drive away that fear. He says in 1 John 4 verse 4, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. The greater one lives inside us. It's the Holy Spirit. I've said this the last time. I'm going to say it again. People, we cannot do this on our own. Not even the spiritual life. Even though we've got this manual and we follow it letter by letter, we cannot do it on our own. We need help. We need the Holy Spirit. He is the helper. And we need to ask Him to help us. And He will. He's waiting for us to ask Him and to believe in Jesus. Always remember the cross. The cross in our life. You can, if you can write on that vertical beam, faith in Jesus Christ. That is what established peace between us and God. And then if you can write on the horizontal, the works of righteousness. It is not our works. John 15, it says that if the branches are connected to the vine, if you abide in me and I abide in you, you will have much fruit. That sap that flows from the vine into the branch causes the branch to have fruit. We cannot by ourselves have fruit. That's the horizontal of the cross. The fruit that we bear, the works that we do, is not our works. Therefore, we cannot take glory for it. It is the works that Jesus bears through us. It is for the Father's glory. So we cry, Abba, Father, Father, Father. He's a loving Father, not based on our physical fathers. We are thankful for our physical fathers. And we judge God by our physical fathers. But He's a good Father. And sometimes we need to look in the mirror and say, Marius, you have a good Father. He's the one that formed you in your mother's womb. Verse 16, the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, intimately involved with our spirit man. You know that God is the Trinity God, the Triune God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, three personalities, one God. He says that He made us in His image. Therefore, we are tripartite being. We are spirit first, then soul, then body. This is not what the world will teach you. They talk about soul and spirit as if it is one. But our spirit man communicates with God. He's given us a heavenly language. That heavenly language that our mind cannot understand. Therefore, the soul cannot communicate with God. Only our spirit man can communicate, spirit to spirit. And it's such a beautiful verse, verse 16. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. We know that we know we are His children. We don't have to wonder about it. And if children, verse 17, then heirs. Heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. If indeed, that's only the first part of that verse. Listen to the second part. If indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. We don't want to do the suffering part. We want to do the prosperity part. This is not real. This world does not want us. It does not want the church. We are swimming against the stream. That stream wants to cast us out. It doesn't want us. We are standing for truth. This world does not want truth. truth defined by the young people today in the universities is what I feel inside, that's truth. What I think is truth. That is the philosophy of today. He doesn't want to know that truth is a person. Truth is Jesus Christ. When we yield to the Lord Jesus, when we yield to the Holy Spirit, we are dying to self. And His life, His resurrection life, starts coming into our life, into our family, into our friends, into our world. You know what resurrection life means? There is no death. There is no stop street. There's always life after a dream died. There's always life after a relationship died. There is no stop. Because Jesus would have been stopped by hell. But He wasn't. The Holy Spirit went in there and picked Him up and seated Him at the right hand of God the Father. That's resurrection life. That is what's in every one of us. There is a hope in that. That we overcome by the Holy Spirit. We overcome by Jesus. He's going to start talking about hope now. Verse 18. Is the verses more or less the same, John? The words. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility that happened in the Garden of Eden, not willingly, but because of Him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. We're talking about freedom, we're talking about liberty. But we don't always realize that creation also is waiting to be freed. Creation is broken. Everything is going down. The whole world is going down. We've got the green agenda that's fighting to decrease the population of this earth drastically to 100,000 people. I think we're at 7 billion at the moment. The green people want to take it down to 100,000 because of the earth, because of saving the earth. They haven't got the right plan. The right plan for this earth is Jesus rolling up the heaven and the earth, burning it, and coming and setting down a new heaven, a new earth, a new Jerusalem, where He, as a King of Kings, will reign. That's what the Jews were waiting for. They were waiting for Him to be the King in Rome, in Jerusalem, ruling over the Roman kingdom. But their time frame wasn't right. It's still in the future that He will come and reign, and we will reign with Him. He's training us through sufferings on this earth to reign with Him. Verse 22, for we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. First fruits of the Spirit is the Holy Spirit that is in us. Another place He calls it like a ring. The Holy Spirit is like this ring of promise. When I put the ring on Gerda's finger when we got engaged, it was a promise that I'm going to marry her and be with her forever and ever by God's grace. The Holy Spirit that we have in our hearts is a promise that He will with us. He will be with us forever and ever. That we will become brides of the bridegroom of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we will be with Him forever and ever. It's a promise. And there's a hope in that. Talks about the redemption of our body here. That will be the ultimate freedom when this body becomes resurrected. It can happen two ways. We can die physically, be in the grave. And when the trumpet sounds, I'll read us just now 1 Corinthians 15. There will be a trumpet that will sound, and the dead in Christ, those in the grave, will rise up first to meet Jesus in heaven. He said this to the disciples. He said, don't be sad. The same way I'm going up, the same way I'm coming down, I'll come down in the clouds. Or the angel said it to them. Don't be sad. And the other way is when Jesus comes now, this very moment, the dead in Christ will go first, and our bodies as it is now will change immediately into a resurrected body, like what Jesus has. Then we will be free completely. It is this body that makes us weak, that wants to sin. But remember, I said just now, you have to have faith that your old man is dead. You have to believe that your old man is dead, that you are now alive in Jesus Christ. I do it daily. Don't forget to do it. So Lord, this morning as I get up, I declare my old man is dead with you, and I'm alive for you. I say yes now. I don't even know what you're going to ask of me today, but I say yes now already. I sat next to a friend about 3 weeks ago. It was Passion Conference in the Cape. I sat next to him. I've known him for many years here in Bloemfontein. And the Lord just led me to speak to him about saying yes. Before the Lord asks, just saying yes. When I started saying yes about 3 years ago, I was doing corporate. 6 months later, I resigned. 6 months later, I was here. The Lord can change your world upside down. I didn't plan to be here. I didn't plan this at all. But the Lord can turn our worlds if we say, Lord, I'm willing. Wherever you want me to go, whatever you want me to do, I will do that. I could speak to, almost said his name, I could speak to my friend and say, he's in his 50s already. He's had 2 full careers already. And I could explain to me what it means to be yielded to Christ, to follow Christ, to say yes before he asks. And it was such a wake-up call, and I had a privilege the next day again in Bloemfontein Strength to even connect on a deeper level with him, with his heart. That is what the Lord asks of us. Say yes. Because you never know in your family, with your friends, your work colleagues, fellow students, you never know who needs to hear this message from you to yield to Jesus, to say yes. Many people know how to come to church. Many people know how to read their Bible and pray. Not many know how to say yes to Jesus, to follow him. And that's what he asked of us. He doesn't want us to come to him one day and say, Lord, Lord, I drove demons out in your name. I yield all these people in your name. And then he says to us, but Marius, I don't know you. We need to know his voice. We need to hear his voice. You know why we don't hear his voice? We are too busy. You can't hear his soft voice when you are busy. We need to become quiet and give him space to talk. Sometimes he doesn't talk, but we still hear him. He's intimately involved with our lives. We saw there how the Holy Spirit is connected with our spirit. The moment we give him space, he starts talking to us. And he starts working through our lives. We have a good Father. He wants to do this. I don't know where I am now. Tanya, which verse am I now? Anyone of you know?
23.
Okay, we're almost done. Not only that, but we also, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves grown within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. For we were saved in this hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? Last verse, but if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. You know, we can be like Thomas that says, I will only believe once I've put my fingers into your hands. Or I've put my hand into your side. The Lord Jesus is as close to us as the Holy Spirit. He's seated at the right hand of God the Father with his hands, holes in his hands, in his feet, and his side. This is what he did for us. And we can choose to say, I first want to feel it before I believe. But he said to Thomas, it's better. You believe because you saw, but it's better to believe what you don't see. And that's where we are now. We will see Jesus physically. And we hope now in that. There's a substance in faith. There's a solidness in faith. When we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we believe in his cross and what he did. There's a solidness in that. What makes it solid is the Holy Spirit testifying with our spirit that it is true. There's many religions out there. What makes this religion true? It's the Holy Spirit that confirms inside you that you are a child of God. You know that you know this. And then we live from that faith. We live in the hope that we will see the Lord Jesus. We will see this creation being rolled up and in creating a new heaven and a new earth. So just to recap, Romans 8 starts with us being freed from sin, freed from our old man. And we live according to that. We live in the newness of the Spirit. Secondly, what we touched on this morning is our freedom from fear. Don't allow any fear in your life. When we speak about mental health today, anxiety has trumped depression. 10 years ago it was depression, now it's anxiety. Anxiety's root is fear. The love of God has been poured into your heart. You don't have to submit to fear. Submit to the Holy Spirit. Submit to Jesus, your King. Let that love that is in your heart by the Holy Spirit push back the fear. Like that light pushes back darkness. Let the love that is in your heart push back fear. Even in relationships, there can be lots of fear within relationships. Let the love of Jesus push back that fear and heal those relationships. A relationship sometimes falls flat on me when I think that I've got the knowledge to manage that relationship. It can be with my parents, it can be with Gerda, it can be with my children. You can fall flat on your face very quickly. In every single relationship we need the Holy Spirit. Because the person you're dealing with is spirit, soul and body. You can't just connect mentally with them or emotionally. You need to connect on all three levels with them. So freedom in Christ. You guys understand that? Very simple message. Go and read Romans 8, study it. It will change your life. Now let me pray for us. Father, I thank you that you have given us these words. And you make it simple by your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, that in the beginning you were there. You were the Word. John 1 verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. And verse 14 says, and the Word became flesh. Today, Lord, we can feel you through these words that was written, that we can read, and that the Holy Spirit can make it real in our hearts. I pray, Lord, as a church, as a community, Lord, that you fire up these words, that you breathe through these words, and that they become life inside us. And in our worlds that we connect to. In Jesus' name. Amen.